Amen. Thank you guys so much. And again, I express appreciation for you being here. I want you to take your Bible and turn to that book that you would obviously expect for a Mother's Day sermon, the book of Judges. The book of Judges, chapter 2. As you're turning, I want to get out a big congratulations to one of our own, Barry Silver. He's been serving with our team for about a year now. This past week, he passed his ordination council sitting. We had a good grilling ceremony for him. And this Wednesday night at 6:30 right here, Brother Barry will be ordained as a pastor of the gospel ministry. So give a big congratulations out to Barry Silver. So happy about that. You know, I have had the privilege of talking to a number of buddies this past week. I keep in touch with a lot of guys in different places, keeping our finger on the pulse of what God's doing. And I've been able to share with them how many people have come to faith in Christ. And we were preparing for Wednesday night's quarterly report and where we are financially and where we are with baptisms and where we are with new members. In the history of our church, in well over 100 years, we have never had a season quite like it. Interestingly enough, this week also coincides with the beginning of my 26th year of full-time ministry. It's hard to believe that, but starting into my 26th year, finishing 25, and I've never seen anything like it. And what some of my friends are saying is, you know, we're seeing some sparks of revival ourselves. We're seeing God do some things. Certainly, we're seeing it on some of our college campuses. We're seeing it in some of our churches. Man, I am praying for a third great awakening throughout our country because, y'all, we need it. We need the hand of God to be upon us as a nation. And, you know, instead of being absorbed with the political coverage of an election year, instead of being absorbed with Fox News or MSNBC or Lord help you, CNN, or whatever it is you were to listen to, let's be absorbed by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're not going to vote him in or vote him out. He sits on the throne today, and let the gospel message spread near and far. I tell you, I've just never seen anything like it. 7 more baptized today, all these precious children, the school. We got waiting list after waiting list after waiting list, the sports ministry exploding, the international student ministry, the performing arts ministry. There were 5 different recitals because we have so many kids. They had to do 5 different recitals this weekend, and they did a great job. Lucy was up there in her little ballet thing, and you know, you get so into it with your kids and grandkids when they're doing their thing. I wanted to put my hands up and do, I couldn't help it, man. There's just, it's an exciting time. But the reason you're getting this message today is there's still this heart burn that I have. This burning sense that as good as it is, we are one generation away from lostness. If these parents don't pass it along, if they don't do what they're committed to do, if I don't do what I've committed to do, if you don't do what you've committed to do, if we don't, as the people of God, pass it on, we're one generation away from those that don't know our Lord and those that certainly won't worship our Lord. But you know, I'm encouraged. Because when I look around and I see some of the craziness, you know, there was a furry convention in Atlanta this weekend. That didn't have anything to do with your pet guinea pig or bunny. And we see some strange things in our world. You know what? I'm still encouraged and I still have hope. Because the light shines brightest in the darkness. Is that true? Some of you saw the northern lights. Some of you pretended to by doing long exposure on your phones and made everybody think that's what you saw. It's okay. I know you can repent. The reality is the light shines brightest in the darkness. And I want you to remember that. At the end today, we're going to come back to it. Y'all remember the grand declaration that Joshua made at the conclusion of the book that bears his name? Joshua 24:15. What does it say? But as for me and my house, we will do what? Serve the Lord. And the people he led said, we will too. Yes, we will serve the Lord. And it makes a difference when you serve the Lord. Your story will outlive you when you serve the Lord. You will leave a legacy. Listen to what one young lady wrote. P.S. Honestly, I want to live completely for God. It's hard and it's scary, but it's totally worth it. Cassie Bernal handed this note to her friend Amanda at Columbine High School the morning of the day she died. Cassie didn't make it to graduation because she answered yes when a young gunman asked if she was a Christian. Cassie Bernal died a martyr. But her zeal for God and desire to make an impact illustrates the incredible potential of a coming generation. But for that generation to live up to their full potential, this generation must pass it on. Mothers, fathers, grandmas and pas, greats, we have the joy and privilege to pass it on. Now we're going to read a little section of text from 7 to 15 in Judges 2. I'm going to focus on one verse, verse 10. So would you stand with me as we honor the reading of God's word? Judges 2, 7 is where we start. The Bible says, "So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel." What had they seen? They had seen the plagues of Egypt. They had seen God spare them in the death of the firstborn when they applied the blood of the lamb. They had seen the deliverance from Pharaoh's hand. They had seen the parting of the Red Sea. They had seen God forgive them even time after time after time when they were disobedient. They had seen God feed them. They had seen the sandals on their very feet not wear out. They had seen the miraculous hand of God bring the walls of Jericho down after they crossed the Jordan River. They had seen miracle after miracle after miracle, and they were obeying God. Many of them, not all of them, but many were obedient to God. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old, and they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. And when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose. Yes, let's celebrate all that they had seen. Another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. What is the result of failing to pass it on? Then, verse 11, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, false gods of their surrounding peoples. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. So enemies fell at their feet. And now they're falling at the enemy's feet. 15, wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said. I'll show you this in a minute. And as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Father in heaven, may this never be said of our generation, that there arose a generation that did not know the Lord nor the works he had done for them. May it never be said of the people of grace or of this great land that has been so richly blessed. And yet I fear we're dangerously close, staring over the precipice of abject lostness and darkness. God, forgive us. God, heal our land. God, speak in this day through precious mothers and faithful fathers, as you have done of old. And may we tell our children, who will tell their children, and their children's children to 1,000 generations, who you are, what you have done, and what you will do. Thank you for the privilege to pass it on. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you and be seated. So how are we going to take that baton that's been handed to us and share it with the next generation? 7, 8, and 9, I'll not reread it all, but you'll notice that the people were serving the Lord in the days of Joshua. They served through the elders that outlived Joshua. They had seen all that God had done. They were talking about it. They were in awe of the movement of God. Joshua died. He was buried. And with that generation, when those who had eyewitness experience passed, it says in 10, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord. What does that mean to us? Number one, if you're a note taker, to pass it on, we must consistently recall who God is. You got to start with who the Lord is. It says that this generation did not know the Lord. Now, Joshua was called a servant of the Lord. What a wonderful way to be characterized. Better to be a servant in the house of God than to be a king anywhere else. Joshua and the people he was leading, they'd done it. They'd been faithful. Or had they? Had they been fully faithful? Had their faith been fully realized? When this second generation, third generation, fourth generation, whichever generation it was past Joshua arose, which did not know the Lord, it reminds me very much of what happened in Exodus following Joseph. You recall? A Pharaoh came to power that did not know Joseph, that did not know his family. And when the new leadership did not understand all that Joseph had done for the land, all that the Jews had done, he enslaved them. And now we have another generation that rises up and they did not know. Your Bible should say L-O-R-D with capital O-R-D, small caps, Lord. That means in a modern English translation, Yahweh, the covenant personal name of God introduced to Moses in Exodus 3:14, when Moses took his sandals off, for the place he stood was holy ground and the bush was aflame, but it was not consumed. And Moses stuttered around and said, Lord, how can I go back? How can I ask Pharaoh to deliver? What if they say, who sent you? And you tell them, Yahweh sent you. I am that I am, the eternal God who was and is and always will be. You tell them I sent you, and you tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But they forgot. And in 11 to 15, you see the horrible result. When people forget who God is, they begin to do evil in his sight. They begin to substitute and worship other gods, little g, that don't really exist. I wrote it like this, because the next generation did not know the personal covenant God of Israel. They were doomed to repeat the mistakes of their forefathers. You've heard it said, if we don't learn from history, we are doomed to repeat it. Don't you see the pattern in the Bible? Don't you see how the people of God see the hand of God and they glorify God and they go out and they're doing good and they're doing right and their leaders are on track, and then somebody rises up that doesn't remember, and how quickly we forget. And then they begin to degrade again, and the hand of God falls heavy upon them, and the judgment of God comes, and their enemies begin to subdue them, and they cry out to God, and God delivers them because he loves us and he loved them, and God brings them back out, and they begin to worship God again and serve the Lord, and then they forget. And the cycle happens again. I can tell you in my life, it has been a personal cycle. Now, thankfully, the times away from God through spiritual maturity are fewer and farther between, but let's be honest, we're not always where we once were. Some of you have had seasons of your life when you've been closer to God than you are now, and if God is the immutable one, if he is unchanging, who moved? You did. I did. If Jesus Christ is the same, fill in the blanks. What does it say, church? Yesterday and I love y'all. If Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, I know I'm not. And I know if I'm not as close to God as I once was, then I've moved. But it is my responsibility, it is my joy and my privilege as a husband and as a father, as a G-pa, I get to tell the next generation, lest how will they know? Were they fully faithful? 2 Timothy 2:2 says, Paul tells young Timothy, these things you've heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will then be able to teach others also. It is a baton passing ministry. We must consistently recall who God is. We start at home. You know why we start at home? Our children are always watching. Our children are paying more attention than we could even realize. Our children are processing things in a way that we cannot even fathom. I'll give you a quick story. As their little brains are moving and absorbing, I was out on the boat. It's been a long time ago, fishing with little Bobby. That's when we still called him little Bobby, because he was. We were reminiscing on the first time we had ever gone down to Disney, and it was just before his second birthday. I was reminding him of the Disney princesses that kissed all over him, because I was smart enough to pay for one of those character lunches where you pay like five times the cost of what the nasty food should be, and they come around and they're in costumes, but your kids go, ah, and you just throw hundreds at them, just throwing it away. And so we got to talking about that, and we got to reminiscing, and he didn't remember because he was so little, but he remembered the pictures. And so he didn't know I was going to do this today, but in honor of the fact that he's about to graduate high school, let's look anyway. Snow White, in particular, took a shine to little Bobby. So Snow White there began, she had her bright red lipstick on, she began to smother this little guy with kisses. And he remembered looking at that picture, and it's really funny because he's like, you know, she was really pretty, wasn't she? I'm like, well, yeah, I guess. I said, but you know, Bobby, now she's not as pretty as your mama. I said, for years and years, people have called your mother Snow White. My first assistant in my first church used to call Miss Cindy Snow White all the time because of the way she wore her hair. She wore headbands for years, and then I think they went out of style, and then Miss Cindy brought them back in style, so she's wearing headbands again. And so, you know, I'm thinking, my little buddy, you can just see, we're having this conversation out on the water, we're fishing, he's talking about, yeah, she was pretty, and I got to tell him, bitch, your mama's even prettier, you know, she's even better than Snow White, and his little brain is moving. He said, well, you know what, Dad? If she's Snow White, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm the prince. He said, that makes you one of the seven dwarves. So I threw him off the boat. No, I'm kidding. I didn't go. Can you believe that little dude would say that to me? I already had people between services in, which are you? And Cindy said, all of them sometimes. So look, he's a little bitty fella. I don't remember exactly how old he was when that conversation happened, but he was a little dude. But he's processing. He's thinking, what are we teaching them? I promise you this, my kids know how I feel about their mama. I promise you. But for some of the good I have been able to do as a husband and father, they've also seen the times I've been a bozo to their mama. And they've seen the times when I've been dopey and grumpy and whatever else the names of them are. They've seen the times. And it all kind of gets recorded. You know, I want my son to love a woman one day as I love his mother. But I want him to do even better than I've done. I want him to be even more Christ-like and godly to her, because I fail in many ways. But the way he's going to do that is not to learn to just be like this father, but to learn to be like his heavenly father. The way my son's going to learn to do that is that I've got to teach him how distinct and unique and awesome our God is. We cannot, moms and dads, say that the God we serve is the same as the God of the Muslim with a different name. Our God is not Allah. Get that garbage out of your head and your mind. Our God is Jehovah God, Yahweh, who is Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Our God is not the God of the Mormon, nor the Jehovah's Witness, nor any other numbers of cults. Our God is the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, omnibenevolent, unchanging God of the universe. That is the God that we teach them about. Don't get fuzzy. Don't get weak. Don't be a wimp. We don't need limp-wrist soldiers of the cross. We need men and women to teach children who God is. And that when you see Jesus, you see God in the flesh fully God, fully man. Who is this great God? He is the God who knits you together in your mother's womb. I could hardly pray walking down the line seeing these precious boys and girls, each one formed and fashioned in the image of Almighty God, each one created with a special plan and purpose by the design of Almighty God, each one, all their days written in His book before they lived to one of them, each one the potential to change the world for Christ, each one an awesome gift from an awesome creator. We need our children to know this is God. It doesn't come from the zoo to you. You weren't goo. You were special in the eyes of God. He made you in His image, and He showed you He loved you when He stretched out on a cross, "I love you this much," and He paid the price for your sin that separates you from Him. And He was buried in a borrowed tomb, for even the Son of Man had nowhere to lay His head. And by the power of God the Father, He was raised to new life, that we can teach our children about a living Lord, a forever Savior that loves us and that has made a way for us to have a right relationship with our God. It is important to know Him personally. Mama, daddy, grandparent, if you don't know Him personally, how are you going to pass it along? You can't pass along that which you don't have. We must consistently recall who God is. Second truth, to pass it on, we must constantly remember what God has done. You know the problem in the Old Testament and the problem in the New Testament and the problem in 2024? We forget. We're a forgetful bunch. We just forget all of the blessings. How many times, I think I said this to the staff, or I said it to you last week, and if I'm repeating myself, I'm sorry, chalk it up to old age. Look, how many times have you gone out and cranked a car, the truck, whatever it is, or hit the button or whatever it is? How many times have you done that, and it fires up, and you're off? But the one time that battery dies, believe this. Why does this always happen? God, why are you doing this to me? I know y'all would never do that. You're holier than me. Anybody? All the mornings of health and then the sniffles. Oh, God. Surely I'm not alone. We forget. We need to constantly remember what God has done. Looking again at verse 10, all that generation was gathered to their fathers. That meant they died. Another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord. Point one. Point two, nor the work which He had done for Israel. The great deliverances of God were lost on them. They forgot about Egypt. They forgot about the manna or the quail. They forgot about the water provided by the Lord. They forgot about crossing the sea on dry ground. They forgot about the walls crumbling down. They forgot about this beautiful land west of the Jordan that God had lavished upon them. They forgot the 12 memorial stones that Joshua had set up to say each stone represents a tribe of Israel, and each one shows us how true and faithful our God is. They forgot. You know, sometimes our memories are better at remembering the tragic rather than the triumph. How many of you, by show of hands, remember where you were January the 28th, 1986, when the Challenger blew up? I was in fifth grade. To some of you, that'll make me feel old. To some of you, that'll make you feel old. It's okay. It's all relative to where you are. I remember where I was. I remember we watched it because there was the teacher, right? Krista McCullough. I remember us watching it. And I remember the kids not understanding. And then I can remember the comments. That's before we had 5 million stations. It was just on one of the three. But I remember the commentators and what they were saying. People were devastated in the loss of those 7 crew members. We remember. And maybe you don't remember that day for where you were, but somebody told you about it. A teacher told you about it. A parent told you about it. How many of you, let's go back a little further. How many of you remember where you were the day in 1963 when you heard of the assassination of then President John F. Kennedy? How many of you remember? My parents, thank you. You just showed your age. My parents vividly recall. My father loved this land. My father served faithfully in the Navy. My parents told me stories about how it felt. My parents told me stories about the gut punch that hit the nation. I felt that gut punch in my life. I bet more hands will go up. September the 11th, 2001. Now I want to show one more set of hands. How many of you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say September the 11th, 2001, but you were either not born or not old enough to remember it personally? How many of you? Yeah, a lot of you. There's the young people in the room. Okay. Here's the deal. We recall these things, and we should. We should remember such things. We should remember these events. You know, for little Bobby, for Hannah, they were not around. Cindy and I know exactly where we were, about to sing a song at seminary. I remember exactly what it was, and we were going to sing the song, He Is, that goes through the entire Bible. Genesis to Revelation talks about God is this in Genesis, and God is that in Exodus, and God is it. And our seminary president had no idea how many lives were lost. He stood up and said there could be as many as 50,000 killed in this. We don't know. We just know we're under attack. Y'all go ahead and sing. And we did. And we stood up not knowing what else to do but recall who God is. Not knowing what else to say, but in Genesis, He's the breath of life. In Exodus, the Passover lamb. We could go through the whole thing in the Word of God. He is more than able and sufficient, and He's Savior, risen with healing in His wings. And I remember the mounds of people, the hordes coming into the house of the Lord there in Central North Carolina. And I remember the flags waving, and I remember the patriotism. And I remember that the house of the Lord didn't stay full too long. Why? Because we forget. We forget. And if we can remember the tragedies, can we please do better at remembering the triumph? Can we please do better at remembering that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can we remember that? Can we pass that on? Can we tell other people of what Jesus has done for us? There's a lot of good news that needs to be shared with the next generation as well. We could talk about the shooting of Martin Luther King Jr., and many remember. But he also had a dream. And sometimes we forget. And I've said it like this, my friends, if a generation fails to learn what God has done, how can they trust Him fully for what He can and will do? I want you to get that down, and then I want you to listen to verse 13 again. Verse 13 says, they forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreth. So these are false gods. The Canaanite god Baal, Canaanite goddesses, Ashtoreth. But I want you to take your hand, you can leave it right there in Judges 2, but flip back one or two pages if your Bible's open, or if you have it on your screen, swipe back to Joshua 24. We need to hear something straight through the prophet, straight through Joshua from the Lord's heart. Listen to this, Joshua 24 and verse 20. The Bible gives this conditional statement. You ready? If then, that's conditional. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after He's done good to you. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. And for the most part, they did. But they forgot it was their responsibility to ensure that the next generation and the next generation and the next generation also would serve the Lord. And so when we consider that, when we come back into Judges 2 and we see that the anger of the Lord was hot against them, and we see that the Lord allowed their enemies to rise up, and we see that God brought calamity on them, we know that God is a God of His word. And when God says, if, then, you better listen. If my people who were called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. This is a promise of God. If we will hear, if we will repent, if we will set aside sin that so easily ensnares, God will be faithful. If we remember that God in the past has delivered people, then he can deliver us too. If we remember that God in the past has healed people spiritually, emotionally, physically, then we know God can heal us too. If we remember that God came to this earth through the virgin's womb in Bethlehem's manger, he lived a perfect life, died a sacrificial death, rose the third day, ascended back to heaven, we then can eagerly anticipate a day when we go to see him through death or rise to meet him in rapture. If I remember my salvation is fully dependent on what God has already done and nothing about what I do, then I serve him by way of adoration and not dry duty. To pass it on, we got to remember what God has done. Now listen very carefully. Jude, verse 3. Jude's just got one chapter, so verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Wasn't invented, wasn't created, it was delivered. I might have said this recently, but remember, we take the baton of faith, we take the baton of the gospel, and we do what, church? Pass it on. We don't bedazzle the baton. You got me? We don't have to make it cute and warm and fuzzy and shiny. We don't have to stand up and say, everybody, look, the baton is relevant. You don't have to say it's relevant. It is relevant. You don't have to make it trendy. It is trustworthy. You pass on the baton to the next generation and you say, but pastor, you've gone to school. You've been preaching. You've done this a long time. It's so complicated. It's so hard. Listen to me. It is not that difficult. It is not that hard. I read a book a while back called Evangelism Made Slightly Less Difficult by Nick Pollard. Pollard summarized the whole Bible like this. Genesis 1 and 2, God set it up. Genesis 3, we messed it up. Genesis 4 to the end of the Old Testament in Malachi, God called us back. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, God came himself. Acts to Jude, God grows relationships. Revelation, God is going to sort it all out. You notice how every phrase starts with God? It's his story. It's his story. So focus on him. You say, that's still too complicated. Okay, you ready? I'm going to give you the Bible in exactly 50 words. God made, Adam bit, Noah arced, Abraham split. Jacob fooled, Joseph ruled, Bush talked, Moses balked. Pharaoh plagued, people walked, sea divided, tablets guided, promise landed. Saul freaked, David peaked, prophets warned, Jesus mourned. God walked, love talked, anger crucified, hope died. Love arose, spirit flamed, word spread, God remained. Say, pastor, that's still too much. Well, man, get John 3:16 memorized and you've got it. How about that? Can we leave it at that? Is it just Timmy Tebow that can memorize John 3:16? Can we handle it? Can we do it? Matter of fact, you got two verses, right? You know Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same. And for God so loved the, that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believeth in should not, but have everlasting. Y'all are a smart bunch. Now you just got to take that. Don't make it cute and fuzzy. Pass it on. Pass it on. Listen, I realize that some people don't want to hear the message. You're not responsible for their response. You're responsible to plant and water seeds. I'm grateful for a mama who did that. I'm grateful for a mother who had me in church 9 months before I was born, who insisted on going for the first 7 or 8 years of my life, even before my father got up to start going. But she stayed faithful, and my earthly father saw her faithfulness to the heavenly Father, and then he began going. And a short time later, I stood beside of both of them when the evangelist preached that Friday night in our church, and he talked about how to be saved. And I let go of the pew standing beside of both of my parents. But I went forward. I took that preacher by the hand, and he helped me understand how I could say yes to Jesus. Then the next week, on Easter Sunday of 1985, when I got into the baptistry, when I looked out, I was able to see my mama and my daddy. And the ones already with Jesus this Mother's Day. My mother is still here. And I can still thank her for being faithful. But do you know why she was faithful? My nanny. My sweet little nanny, about this big and 95 pounds soaking wet. My sweet little nanny. The prayer warrior that she was poured into my mama and her sister and her brothers. They did what Deuteronomy 6 talks about. They were talking about the Word of God in their home. And it wasn't a perfect home, by the way. There were challenges in my mother's home. When they started their businesses, there were challenges in our home. Miss Cindy and I have served the Lord together these years, coming up on 3 decades, over 29 years ago. She said yes to being my wife. We got married. God's blessed us with 4 kids and 2 grands. And you know what? There are challenges at times, but we do it together because we're better for it together. One of the things we do is we're recalling regularly who God is. And then we remember constantly what God has done. That's what we must do to pass it on. Now, again, I apologize to our cameramen. They did a great job last hour. I know they'll do it again. If you're watching online, this is not the end. You won't see much for a moment, but then it'll make sense to you. I'd ask you not to leave the room. I would ask you to stay where you are for your own safety, please. They're going to bring the lights down right now. We live in a world of darkness. And I would love to bring out candles and do this because, as I've told you many times, a candle loses nothing of its light by lighting another candle. But in this new modern age, we have something a little safer and we have something that won't drip wax in our new worship center. So, the Bible calls us to be a light. And as lights, this one singular one isn't making a whole lot of difference. However, I'm going to walk down here and find my way. And I'm going to go to my sweet bride, one of the greatest mamas that's ever been. Pretty sweet G-Ma too. And I'm going to share my light with her. She's going to begin sharing her light with everybody around her. Probably should have told you to take your phones out before we started this exercise. But everybody near her is going to start sharing their light with one another very quickly. I'm going to come down here. Do you have a phone on you? All right, buddy, I'm sharing a light with you. Ready? Hold it up. All right, you guys start sharing it with one another. Everybody I'm coming across, all across the front of the church. Pastor Jeff, do you know how to cut that? Yes, you do. Let me go back and help Pastor Frank. And from front to back and balcony, you're perfect. You figured it out. From front to back, you're starting to share your lights one with another. This room is beginning to change, isn't it? In fact, it's pretty astounding. Now, here's what I want us to do. Every person that has a device that has a light, I want you to take that light and I want you to point it. Oh, look at that shot up on those screens. Do y'all see that? I want you to point it to the ceiling. I just want you to light this place up. I can see your faces just about as good as when I was preaching with the house lights on. Now, I want you to point it right at me. And then I want you to think about this. I did not make much of a difference, did I? When it was just me. But when I share and you share and the next guy shares, this much light begins to make the darkness flee. Now listen, the Bible is very clear. Jesus says in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Notice it doesn't say, "Just shine it on you." This is not an Instagram moment where you get the perfect, "Oh, I just woke up." This is not what some of y'all did lying about the light. So, "Look how spectacular." And you couldn't see a bit with your naked eye. You just used your phone. You trying to fool somebody. We know you. The light is not meant to shine at you. The light is meant to shine in and through you. Because then it changes the darkness. And you see, it's amazing to me with the cameras, just bright, and just how lit up it is in here with just these little camera LEDs. Now, I want you to watch something that's going to happen, though. Leave your phones up. Begin to bring all of the lights back up. See, these don't make quite so much of a difference when everything's already well lit. However, you can turn them off. Here's what I would tell you. You know, if you're paying attention, that in 2024, there's a lot of darkness out there. You know, if you're paying attention, that we need the light of life. You know, in 2024, that when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, he said, and the life, L-I-F-E. You know that people need to hear no one comes to the Father but by him, because that same Jesus also said, not only is he the way, the truth, and the life, F-E, he said, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me will no longer walk in darkness. He will have the light of life. So what is our responsibility, sweet mothers? So much weight has fallen on your shoulders. And sweet lady, that maybe you've not been able to be a biological mother, but you're a mother figure to others, I want you to know you are remembered and appreciated today. And sweet friend who is experiencing a Mother's Day without your mother here, I want you to know that if she's in Christ and you're in Christ, there is a heavenly homecoming on the horizon, and it's just that much sweeter when you get there to see her. And for those of us whose mamas are still here, we need to tell them and show them, because so much weight has been borne by our dear ladies. But my brothers, I challenge you to step up with these sweet, godly women in your life. I challenge you together to pass along the faith that was delivered to you. Maybe you're here today and you didn't have the best of childhoods. Maybe you didn't have the Leave It to Beaver family. But you do have a faithful Heavenly Father. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so I want to encourage you to let your light shine. And I want to challenge you to take this faith that's within you and pass it on. Stand with me this morning. During this time of prayer, I'm going to ask for several things. Number one, if you need to know that you know but you don't, if you want to nail it down and trust Christ, pastors and counselors are here, men and women ready to receive you and give you biblical truth. Number two, if you want to come and express appreciation to God for the gift of your mom, whether she's here or in glory, you can do that. It's always appropriate. I hope you would come. Number three, if you know somebody hurting or struggling, maybe Mother's Day is bitter for you. Maybe it's a challenge for you. I would pray that you would pour your heart out before a compassionate God who loves you and wants to be the God of comfort to you today. Whatever the need may be, this is a time to respond. If you don't have anything else to pray about, you can pray for our middle daughter, Holly. Hurricane Holly just texted me and the family and said, I just landed in Vegas. Lord, help Vegas. Okay, Holly's out for a work trip for Oak Ridge, and she is going to Vegas for the very first time. Here's what I know about Holly, though. Holly loves Jesus, and though she's not traveling with a companion, she's not traveling alone. And so I trust my girl, and I trust that she will do what is good and right, because she takes the name Lewis and Keith and Grace and Jesus with her wherever she goes. So if you have nothing else to pray about, you can pray, because Vegas will never be the same. Thank you so much for watching us today. God is doing absolutely amazing things in and through our Grace Baptist Church family. If you'd like to share anything the Lord is doing in your life, feel free to reach out to us through our website or our app. And if you're ever in the Knoxville area, come by and worship with us and our family of faith here at Grace Baptist Church.